We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome into Pony and Mueller, a Roundtable Tuesday and a Tomlin Tuesday. The Tomlin Tuesday for the final time. Not because he's leaving or getting traded to the Raiders or
Mike
any of that.
Munchak's riding in on his horse.
He just won't talk again until we get close to draft time and people ask pointed questions about who they'll pick. And he'll dust off the Tomlinisms to avoid really saying too much. You don't want to show your hand.
No.
When you have the 20th pick.
Yes.
No, you know, when your draft plan might include taking a guard from a low-level Big Ten team and converting him to a center, you don't want people to have that inkling that you might do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Steelers analyst Arthur Motes is in studio with us.
Here I am.
I like the energy already.
Here I am again. I got to be positive, Arthur. I can't.
It's 2.02 p.m. The show just started. Wait a minute. No, it's too happy right
Arthur,
now.
I don't like this. I'm already choosing violence for the second
yesterday
straight day.
But you know what? I like the consistency. Oh. That's my thing. You are very consistent.
Hey, yesterday you made it through the show without swearing, and you were nervous about that. You thought you were going to drop an F-bomb, and you came very close in the first segment. And the clip of you coming very close has gone viral, as it often does when Mulsey has a meltdown. The Mulsey meltdowns play big on Twitter.
Can I ask what inspired the meltdown?
Roethlisberger, as per usual. What do you think? His typical classic hot button topic.
His anger muse.
The one that is always.
It was actually no. It
ready
was actually
to set Mulsey off.
It was actually this, like the continued insistence in some corners that yes. While Matt Canada was horrible, Ben was somehow just a victim of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, he sucked too. Just say it with your chest.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear people
but
say.
Sucked is just such a strong word.
But it's only strong when it's not appropriate. And I do feel at times when we're evaluating full body of work based on what we expect from Seven as well, because of what he has been able to accomplish throughout this time frame here, this would be
okay.
In the
so, do you think that
category.
Mulsey was using that full context and nuance that you just did there?
Oh, of course!
Yeah,
that's
what Chris Mueller. That's what Chris Mueller is famous for. If you go watch that 2-minute video,
big
it is
nuance
just,
guy. Yes,
it is just packed to the brim with nuance. That video.
I'm a little bit offended here. I'm getting labeled a blunt instrument by my co-host here.
No.
I'm
the opposite, yeah.
No, I know. You're dapping me up. He's Mr. Oh, you're a hammer. I'm a scalpel. He's got his little quarter zip sweater on, and now
you
he thinks
see
he's,
him? He looks so distinguished in here. Just,
he's Andrew Fancy Pants now.
Jeez.
Anyway.
Yeah, Jim Nantz said he was going to send me some quarter zips and still has not. And I'm nervous that he sent a care package that was for me Pompiani, and Pompiani just kept all of mine.
Wait a minute. Jim Nantz said, from podcast days.
Yeah, Nantz said to Pomp and I, I'll send you guys some quarter zips, but I don't have any of his contact information. I only know him through Bob, and I think Bob just kept them all.
You and Bob wear the same size?
Because Nantz has his own line of quarter zips.
What is one of those quarter zips
I think
run
he
you?
Has... Nantz has, outside of broadcasting, he has ventured off into wine and quarter zips.
Quarter zips.
Just
it's
basically,
a market for the quarter zip,
what
I guess,
are
man.
60-year-old white men into? Jeez. Bingo. Jackpot.
Oh,
wine
so
and quarter zips.
How much do you think? So it's Vineyard Vines is the company that does the Nantz.
Oh,
Arthur.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them before.
Right.
They give them out at all golf functions. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
He's got that marker.
What do you
covered.
Think? I just want you to guess what the Jim Nantz quarter zip goes for. The
I think nice $120 bucks.
I'm going to say $75.
Pony is very close. Buck 15.
Oh, wow.
He's not
got
messing around.
The little pink whale.
Donnie, do you own any quarter zips?
The little pink whale is pretty cool, man.
You own any quarter zips, Donnie?
I do.
You do not strike me as a quarter zip man.
You're a guy that wears mesh shorts to work.
Yeah, well, the only one I have is from my brother-in-law and my sister. It was like their one of their like wedding gifts.
Do you like it? Did you wear it? Yeah. And you were like, wait a minute, maybe I can see myself in one of these more often.
Would you wear it out for like a date if a girl?
I mean, maybe.
Is that first date material, or is that like down the line, we done went out a couple of times material?
I was going to say, yeah, I think it's down the line. Like, we've had a couple good dates. Now I can show you that I'm casual and relaxed. I love that the one color that pops up is called Sailor's Red. It can't just be red.
No, no, no.
This is the red. This is the red that a seafaring man would wear.
Yes, yes.
Would Mike Tomlin say, I'm optimistic about Matt Canada on Tuesday and fire him on Friday?
No. Well, you never say never, you know.
No, that maybe. I read his Canada answer, especially one contrasted.
Optimistic about Matt Canada, but not optimistic enough to keep him. Psych, joke's on you. He's gone. I'm optimistic about the job he can do in college football next year.
He could go that route.
Holds up like a printout from LinkedIn that says, "Here's a bunch of jobs that are open in college."
I'm optimistic that Matt Canada is the right man for Baylor. Oh. No.
That would be. Can you imagine he did that and then the air horn thing? Bow.
He started playing Whoop, There It Is.
But no, in all seriousness, though, man, like when you listen to Coach T and
he's back,
you know, he gives those type of responses. Yeah. I do think that he does allow himself out if he wanted to take that route. Because we've seen at times where, for example, TJ Watt, is he injured? And we're like, well, we're watching him in this game. We know for a fact he's hurt. But then when he you know, talks about it and he responds to it, it's like, no, you know, nothing outside of the normal bumps and bruises associated with the job. And you're like,
right,
that's not normal bumps and bruises.
I feel like in that answer, if that's how he feels, that he's optimistic about Canada, that makes me feel like Tomlin believes that he was weighed down or bogged down by Roethlisberger and or the offensive line.
I would hope he means both, because as critical as I am of Ben, and we'll probably, you know, now we're at the end of the line for that, by the way. The line, I don't think I ever said, Pony, like, hey, the line is good. Do you ever remember me just putting it all on the quarterback? No, I said the line stunk, and it was a very, I said last night on the sports call, like, they did him wrong in some ways, saying, hey, yeah, come back for this one year. Don't worry, we'll fix all the other crap that sucked at the end of 2020. They did absolutely none of that, but like, again, I'll go back to with Canada, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt for half the season, Arthur. I don't know how, even with those constraints, quarterback who can't move, so that's going to limit you. Line that can't block, so that's going to limit you. Right. I don't know how you can look at what his basic strategies seem to be and think, like, this guy is cut out for the job unless, and this is going to what Pony said about being weighed down, unless you're Mike Tomlin and since this guy is your subordinate, you actually know straight from his mouth, hey, I'm actually calling way different plays than I would because of all these things that are in place. That's the only way you could have optimism if you know he didn't actually run his offense.
Yeah, and I think with that, though, that is something that we have to rely on Coach Tom, because none of us are privy to that intimate details and stuff like that. But if that were to be the case, I don't think any of us would be surprised by that.
But I'm just reading between the lines of why he would have confidence in the guy.
But I think you can have confidence in the guy because of some of those things that Mosey said, but at the same time be optimistic or have a little bit more cautious optimism about him because of those factors. We know what Ben Roethlisberger was, why he was here. We know he's a very polarizing quarterback as well on this roster. So if you did not mesh with him, you don't think he knew about Todd Haley? So, yeah, you're going to feel handcuffed in some aspects.
More, and
if you're
more personality or physical
talents? I think
talents.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Why not, though? Mm-hmm. Because with Todd Haley, we can talk all we want about his personality. For me personally, I never had an issue with his personality.
Right.
And we know what the on-field results were.
Yeah.
For multiple years, but we saw what it ended with, and that's him being let go.
Ben didn't, just to be fair, though, he didn't really butt heads with Arians or Fichtner. Mm-hmm. It was Haley, and now that's kind of being projected onto Canada, too, which is I get. I mean, you never saw the two interact with each other. The guy was up in the booth on game days.
I was about to say, we would see how many times Ben stands on one end of the field, everybody else is on the other end.
I know. I've seen that a million times when I've been at games. I think Canada, like, okay, so this has to, what do the baseball nerds say? Small sample size alert. Like, let me get my nerd voice out for small sample size.
To be fair,
here comes small sample size.
Aren't you kind of a baseball nerd?
Do I look like one?
A little bit.
I guess I'm wearing a quarter zip.
The quarter zip.
Sauntered right into that one.
It's a trap. I fell right into it. I saw the Matt Canada offense without being bogged down or weighed down by Big Ben one time this year, and it produced 16 points against the crappy Lions. And in terrible weather, their game plan was, let's have them throw it 50 times.
Well, here's the worst part about that and why I'm glad you brought that specific example up. Because one of the, for whatever pro-Canada sentiment is out there that's not also tied to like some sort of anti-Ben sentiment,
yeah,
it's been tied up in this idea that, well, Mason Rudolph can execute his offense much better. Really? You watched that guy do that? I don't care what the weather was like. Mm-hmm. The guy was skipping throws there like he was expecting Raylor McLeod to play shortstop or something like that. Like, if that's the guy that is supposed to be much more cut out to run your offense, I have bad news about your offense. It sucks.
To an extent, I could definitely see that. But we also remember in that game, Mason did have them in position to win in overtime. And that wasn't his mistakes. That wasn't Canada's mistakes. Those were two players in terms of Deontay and Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
So we can't exclude that part when we bring up the negativity from that performance.
I mean, if those, but
it's about, it's against the Lions, though, so how much
and they
do
score,
you...
And they score 19 points.
But I know, I get that, but we also, this is the other part that's funny to me.
Okay.
In one vein, like you're bringing up right now, we're talking about this performance against the Lions, and we're holding it as a negative towards Canada. But in the same breath, you talk about how mediocre Mason, or how Mason is an NFL quarterback and all these other things. So if you're Matt Canada, isn't the same argument that Ben is holding you back?
Could be.
Couldn't that be the exact same argument about Mason Rudolph?
Could be.
Based on everything you just said and what you've been saying all year and what a lot of fans say about Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, I mean, externally, I think you're right. I think it's going to come down to some of the reporting that's been done about their own internal evaluation of Mason Rudolph. If they actually think he's a good quarterback, then it does reflect poorly on Canada.
But if they think he's not a good quarterback, then that's not an indictment on Canada.
It's,
so if you hear Coach
Scarlet
Tomlin,
letter for him.
Right, and if you hear Coach Tomlin say, well, you know what? I think he's a guy. I think I believe in him. I'm excited about what he can do in the future. You might be feeling like that if the things that all of y'all have been saying about the court.
Say about this,
saying,
you know what that's doing? Two words. You always say this. You're seeking comfort if you do it that way.
And that's fine. But at the same time, I don't think it's seeking comfort when you are acknowledging legit variables.
Yeah.
I think there is a difference in that.
And if they're saying their internal evaluation on Rudolph is actually negative, we've got some like evidence that from players sort of having slips of the tongue that that might be the case. Hayward saying, well, we got a good scouting department as far as our next quarterback. Or Pony, who was it? Deontay, I think, right? Didn't even mention Rudolph. Who was the guy? There was another person besides Hayward.
I think the only person I heard mention Rudolph was Ben. When Ben was like, I think he deserves a shot as a franchise quarterback. Outside of Ben, I haven't heard anybody say that.
Deontay said yesterday, we'll see who they bring in.
That's right. He was noncommittal, and Hayward, in a throwaway sense,
I just think
it's going to be outside the guys that are here.
I get nervous that Canada is being kept around for one of two reasons that I both think are bad reasons to keep someone. The first one is, well, they don't fire coaches. They fire players with years left on their contracts.
Very true.
Okay, so if a player sucks in just 1 year, they don't care that there's 2 years left on the deal.
Dante Moncrief, come on, man.
Mark Barron, Morgan Burnett. I mean, they brought
the beauty
in
beauty of the non-guaranteed contract.
Right. So they don't hold those players that are just, you know, blow up in your face free agent acquisitions to that same standard that evidently some say they hold coaches to. The other one, which I might even detest more, is Tomlin doesn't want to admit a mistake after 1 year.
Only when it's personal, only when it's coaching staff
but
related,
not
player related.
Well, it reflects bad on him if he keeps an offensive coordinator for only 1 year because he's telling everybody that he hired the wrong guy. Okay.
People make mistakes.
Right. Yeah. So what?
Guys,
they
fired
it? It didn't work?
If anything,
let's move on.
If anything, the pride is more of an issue than making the mistake. I don't mind you making a mistake. At least go out there and shoot another one. Right.
Don't compound it
with your pride, and now you feel like I got to keep this guy on board longer.
Which goes to something else. Like, you say that, Pony, and I think that's very plausible in this particular case. If Adrian Clem doesn't want to leave for college, I'm still not positive Adrian Clem gets shown the door after 1 year.
No, you bring up a very good point.
Filippaldo didn't think so. We asked him, and he goes, I was given no indication that there was any kind of disappointment internally with the Steelers and the job he did this year.
Mike Tomlin's got to stop being so in love, and he has been unbelievable as far as, like, overall record. He's starting to get with, and this is in concert, I say this, with their lack of playoff success. Yeah. He's starting to get a little too in love with the smell of his own farts here with some of these decisions
Maybe
he's
he
making.
Should jar him and sell him like that girl who made all that money.
Seriously, it's no, a market, right?
I do think like it's a very tough thing. We lauded Belichick for this, I want to say, last week. The guy is willing to admit mistakes quickly despite having had an unimaginable level of success. And as much as I think he's kind of a standoffish jerk, I respect that he doesn't have such an ego that he just stays with things that don't work.
And I'm actually glad he stayed with some of the things that didn't work on Saturday night. I appreciate Belichick for that. That was yes. really nice to see.
Yes.
Were you there with your shirt off too? Like
I considered it, but you know, I knew Sunday we had another big game, so I had to be a little more
very
reserved.
Smart.
Yes.
Man, watching – this is not to – throw a shot at Roethlisberger. It's more to say, no, because we knew,
Has he ever prefaced a comment like
you
that?
You know where this
to
is going.
This isn't to destroy
you
Roethlisberger.
You know where
and
this is going.
20 seconds go by, and he's shoveling as much dirt as possible.
That's why I'm laughing right now, because I already know
well,
where he's about
what,
to
boys,
go with
All
it.
You're doing is delaying the inevitable then. No, but in all seriousness, we know that probably since the elbow injury for sure, but even before that, when he was more of a stand-in-the-pocket guy, even in 18, when the counting numbers were good, right? Really, like, some of them were really good.
Yeah.
When you watched Allen play, when you watched Mahomes play, Allen especially, just because of who he did it to, man,
yeah,
and Burrow, it more, not about Roethlisberger, because now that's in the past, moving forward, oh my God, do you have to find a dude. Yeah. Like, we talked about Derek Carr and some of these other sort of mid to upper mid-level guys that are possibly going to be available. It almost feels fruitless to even go with that because, like,
it's different.
There's about five or six aliens at the position right now, and it feels like if you don't have one of those, you are in deep doo-doo.
You say that?
Yes. Go ahead. I was just going to say
this, though. Do you think Kyle Shanahan's a really good offensive coach?
Yes.
I think he's 36-18 when Garoppolo starts. Garoppolo is not a great quarterback. So the idea that the person that puts the offense together is either irrelevant or is some kind of like tertiary figure or background singer, I don't necessarily agree with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, is the simplest way to do it to find Patrick Mahomes? Of course it is.
But you also had Patrick Mahomes paired with who?
You have to
Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
So it's like in both
and Tyreek
of those,
Hill and Travis Kelce.
Absolutely. So you have to have the personnel. We know that part is number one. But you do have to have that architect, that orchestrator behind the scenes. And like you said, certain places they have that. We have had that in the past, but we currently
semi counterpoint to both of you.
Yeah.
Fair point, and he made it to the Super Bowl. And if Jimmy makes one play, he wins a Super Bowl and beats Mahomes with that team. But look at your margin for error. That's
well,
like
no,
the
that,
thing
that,
I would
that's
bring
the
up.
Big difference. But that's why when we talk about finding franchise quarterbacks, why it's such a premium on them, because we know it's legit probably five guys that we would sit here, and if we had to put our lives on being franchise quarterbacks, only five of them. But when we talk about those same five teams, they're not always in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Some of these guys haven't even
and
won
there are
Super Bowls.
They're all still playing this year
now. So, and I get that part, but we understand that it's multiple ways to win championships. You can go the route of having the elite quarterback and guys around him. You can go the route of having the rookie quarterback with superstars around him. Or you can go the route of having a mid-tier quarterback with guys around him like San Fran did with Jimmy G. And you can still be in those positions. But like you said, the margin just becomes a little bit more difficult with some of those pieces not being available.
One more point that always makes me think about the Allen, the alien-type guys at that position, Mahomes. We're talking about how the play caller is very important. Mm-hmm. What did we just get done discussing? How the Steelers don't spend enough to get premium coaching in there and seem to be willing to stay with mediocre coaching.
That's why keeping Canada is so disheartening for me, because I think, especially with this team, with Tomlin as the head coach, the offensive coordinator is an even more important job because he has almost autonomy over the offense. Now, Tomlin's going to butt in and say, I want you to run the ball here or be aggressive or things like that. But from like a putting the offense together, it's pretty much on him.
Yeah, you're the only cook in that kitchen, really.
And that's when you look at the teams that are left playing, okay, you either have Andy Reid, who's a head coach who functions as an offensive coordinator, even though they have someone with that title. Sean McVay, same thing with the Rams. Or you've got teams where the offensive coordinators have much better resumes than Canada. The dude up in Buffalo, Dable, worked for Belichick, has been an offensive coordinator a bunch of different places, went and worked for Saban. I mean, the guy has an extensive resume.
Won a national championship
with
Saban.
He built an offense around the abilities of, yes, a really talented quarterback.
Who at the time, though, he was a project himself.
I mean, that's where I just look at this and I think, man, why are the Steelers settling? Why are they settling with this guy? Is there a chance he gets better next year? Sure, I guess. But I just, nothing in Matt Canada's qualifications or resume to this point make me do anything more than this, Arthur, hope. You can hope until you're blue in the face that he gets better. But I don't see a resume that shows me he's capable of that.
I'm with you. I look at hope. I put that in the same category as potential. Both of those get you fired because you just keep waiting on it. You keep saying that this guy's going to develop. You keep saying that this coordinator is going to, you know, the light bulb is going to hit. But you look down the line 2 years, 3 years, and you're in the same exact place. Yeah, I don't like any of the hope or the optimism part of it. I want to see results. And right now, that is where Canada has been lacking. But going back to what you said, though, in terms of you would just want to get the franchise quarterback, we all do. 32 teams want it. But my question to you is, how do you get him this year? Because you're not going to tell me it's a guy coming out in the draft.
No,
that
next year.
Franchise.
Next year's crop is better than this year's.
About this year,
right,
though.
Let's get to that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
We'll talk about that, too. We got a full show here. Arthur's here until 5. Donnie Football here until 6. Donnie Football is ecstatic because Chris went to Sam's Club before the show and bought him Cheez-Its in bulk.
Ooh. Individually wrapped
Donnie
packages
Donnie is a Cheez-Its guy.
That's a vet move. The individually wrapped ones, that's what I'm talking
about. I happen to think that like Cheez-Its are a very lame snack.
You,
nothing
Donnie,
about them
you,
excite
my wife,
me.
And my kid all love Cheez-Its. My wife is obsessed with Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its are phenomenal. You don't eat Cheez-Its?
I think Cheez-Its are
I'll
what you give
them,
a toddler. You give them Cheerios, Goldfish, Cheez-Its. Like, that's a snack for
Goldfish
someone who lacks
too.
A refined taste.
You like PubMix.
Exactly.
Which,
bro,
I bought
has
you
everything.
A big tube of.
It has everything.
No, that sounds like you're lacking refined taste as well,
it's
man.
It's an exotic,
Publix,
eclectic mix.
Publix, they basically just throw a certain kind of Publix-flavored dust on a bunch of different things and say, here, there's got to be something in this big jar of slop that you're going to like.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Arthur, give us a musical artist or group that people would be surprised you listen to a lot.
Billy Joel.
Sweet.
Yeah, I actually went to see him at PNC Park when he came. Was that 2 years ago?
So did I. It rained so much.
I know,
that
bro.
I needed to go buy a dry shirt from a store downtown. Problem is, it was a woman's extra large and not a guy's.
What did that equate to roughly in guys, like a medium?
I don't know, but it was very tight. I mean, it was like a V-neck that was down to like my hairy nipples. What are you making that face for, Moses?
That is just quite a visual you have cultivated. Right. A V-neck that somehow plunged down all the way around.
Like, you
your
know
nip.
How loose that is? This is a U-neck. It's not a V-neck.
It's
anymore,
like he
man.
Was the guy in the commercial, like where your laundry thing leaves you with rumple neck or whatever it is. Yeah.
We have tickets to a big time concert, but we have to, you got to earn them. We're not just going to give them to caller number 7 on 93.7 The Fan.
Is that Bill Steinbach's voice?
You know, like those corny. We'll take caller 10.
You are caller number 5.
There you go, Arthur.
Hey, you're listening to Rip and his buddies in the mornings. We got caller 7 right now.
Yep.
Make a fart noise and you might get these tickets.
Yeah.
Blammo.
Sorry, I'm done now.
Fan Hotline presented by Nemacol and Run Every Corner. Nemacol and creates real life magic for guests. Pretty simple ask. Call in with your take on Mike Tomlin, the job he's doing, your thoughts on him retaining Matt Canada. You believe in him right now, your confidence level in the Steelers coach, 412-928-9370. So you can get your opinions out there, and at the same time, you have a chance to win tickets to a pretty cool concert that we'll tell you about at the end of the segment. Here is, and by the way, 412-928-9370. We still have a couple spots. Here's Brian on the Fan. Hello, Brian.
Oh, Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Listen, I live on the other side of the state, so I'm not coming out there for a concert, but I will definitely give you my opinion on Mike Tomlin. Oh, my God.
You sound very pro Mike Tomlin. Is that true? You sound like a big fan.
He's killing my team. He is killing my team. He inherited a Super Bowl caliber team with Hall of Fame coaches, Hall of Fame players on it, and he has not done one single thing to improve this team. When I hear guys like Arthur Motes talk about praise him, what a great coach he is, it drives me
well,
wild.
Arthur's here if you want to talk to him about it. Arthur, you want to say hello to Brian?
I lose my mind. You know what? I hear Arthur say he used to get us hyped for games, he used to get us up for games. The one thing I never hear him say is he used to get us prepared for games because he doesn't prepare anybody. He's like Bill Cowher said or like Terry Bradshaw said, he's a cheerleader. You get guys like Najee Harris.
Bill Cowher got outcoached on game day a whole hell of a lot, man. Hey, Brian, Bill Cowher got outcoached badly in big games in his career. Badly.
I know that. You know what?
You do know that.
Social media and sports radio.
Did you whine and bitch and moan about him, too?
He was. Yes, I did.
Okay, fair play.
And we didn't have sports radio back then like we did now. But I tell you what, I mean,
Brian, how many coaches in the NFL right now are better than Mike Tomlin? Is he a top 20 coach? Is he a top 30 coach in the NFL?
No.
Is he the worst coach in football?
There's a lot of coaches I would take. I'm going to tell you, I'd take of the 32 coaches, I'll take 16 over him right now just to see him gone off of my team. He's killing
me. Thank you, Brian. Wow.
I like his passion, though. I'm all for the passion, man. Hey, if you feel that strong about it, that you feel like it's 16 other coaches.
He inherited a Super Bowl team and did not my team. He inherited a Super Bowl team laden with veterans and Hall of Famers and did nothing to improve them except win a Super Bowl in his second year after the guy he inherited the team from was going 8-8 in his last year.
No. Yeah, I was waiting on him to get to the 16 coaches. He said, I got 16 that I would take over him today. I was ready for that list. That's what I wanted to hear. But
I don't know if Brian can name 16 NFL head coaches. I didn't want to put him on the spot like
that's
that.
That's what I was waiting on. I was like, I feel the passion. I feel like he was prepared for this moment.
What's weird is like he said Bradshaw called him a cheerleader, and then he said something to the effect of Cowher said that about him too, but then he also said he hated Cowher.
The issue with any – we'll see how the rest of the callers come down on this. But my problem with the Tomlin discourse is often – the extremes are so mind-boggling.
Oh, no, and that was the other day, right?
It's either the guy sucks and is not even a top 30 coach, or he's untouchable.
It's never any nuance,
and it's like,
right?
Dude, we got to get into the gray area on this guy because that's really where he is right now.
I mean, think about this part. The guy said he listens. He says, man, one of the parts that bothers me the most with Arthur is he will talk about how he's such a great motivator, but he's never said how he's a great person that gets us prepared.
Well, and here's your chance, Arthur.
Well, no. This isn't the first time. I've told y'all numerous times. Yep. In terms of defense, I haven't found a coach smarter than him. I feel like he was right up
there.
Take
that, Brian.
Eyeball with Dick LeBeau, who we know. Dick LeBeau is one of the best coaches ever.
Yep.
But we've said this before. This is nothing new.
Well, sometimes people need reminded.
You know. Well, I don't really like to remind people. Let him just live in their own bubbles.
I think it's like a legitimate criticism, though, if he is. Like, if you felt his defensive acumen was up there with anybody, I do think it's one thing that Pony has said repeatedly that I agree with now. His insistence on calling the defense has hurt his game management because he is so hyper-focused on that area.
And we've talked about that as well, but once again.
Nuance, brother.
We have nuance.
Nuance.
Let my
Mike
man
is
just
next.
Be passionate.
Hello, Mike. Mike, you there, brother?
Yes, I'm here.
Mike, you ready to follow up? You want to defend Brian? Is he the worst coach in the NFL?
No, I'm sorry. I can't defend Brian. Okay. I'm actually in pretty much agreement with all your statements right now. I feel he is similar to Bill Cowher in the way that he's a great motivator and everything that you guys have talked about. He's just not an excellent those guys. And kind of like Cowher, if we can surround him with a supporting coaching staff that's able to take some of that stuff off his plate, and allow him to be that motivator. We're going to have the same successes and that we did with Cowher when he was successful and when Tomlin was successful for his Super Bowls.
All right, Mike, we'll leave it there with you.
I think he has to want it because he has enough power now. I think he has to want to give some of that up, which is a problem. Like, when I think of a CEO coach or a CEO of a company, the best ones are the ones that actually inspire their people to want to come to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then those companies typically, or coaches, typically have people who do work under them who are great at the nitty-gritty. Like, I think, like, Saban's the best college coach we've ever seen. He's one of the best coaches we've ever seen, period.
Okay.
His staff is all NFL head coaches who lost their jobs, but they're obviously great at something. Like, he brings in dudes who could probably get another NFL job. They go to him for image rehab and come back out on the other side. That is, by definition, an unbelievable staff of people. I guess I would say Nick Saban lets them do their jobs,
but
too.
I also think that's different, though. When you're talking college versus the pros, collegially, it's just, you know, sometimes those NFL guys, they go down there. And, yes, all NFL coaches, to some extent, are elite at what they do in some way, shape, or form. But when you take them from the NFL level, where it's a lot more balanced in terms of the talent margin, the balance, that is what the difference is to me. When you go to Alabama, yeah, man, your whole roster is going to be better than 90% of the teams you're going to face. So it can make you feel like you're a better coach anyways. But how many times when we talk about under that same coaching tree, when those coaches leave, yes, some of them do well, but very similar to Belichick, they do struggle.
You're right. When you've given up close to 140 points in the last three playoff games, though, and you were so bad at stopping the run this season, you have to reevaluate the way you're doing things.
No, I agree with that, you know? But I also think you got to reevaluate some of the personnel decisions as well.
Yeah.
And I think both of those things have to happen hand in hand for us to get the results that we truly want. I think if you just change coordinator and leave personnel the same, I don't think these results are going to be drastically different, and I don't think it's going to change if you just change personnel, but you don't make any alterations coaching-wise.
You know what he said on that front, Arthur, that kind of unnerved me a little today? And because I, you know, it's not like a guy that's a flashpoint person, I don't think we're going to spend a huge amount of time on it, so I'll bring it up here. When he talked about Edmonds' availability and, like, sort of it sounded like was speaking much more on the positive side than on the negative side with him. Like, that actually annoyed me from the perspective of evaluate personnel. Is Terrell Edmonds, like, a big difference maker, Pony? Would you say he is? No, not really. He's, like, he's a guy, right? If he's a third-round pick at safety.
Well, if they thought he was a guy, they would have picked up his fifth-year option.
I'm saying he's you know.
Like,
he's,
if they thought it was the man.
But he's somebody that Tomlin spoke pretty positively about, more positively than negatively. And I'm, like, sitting here going, man, see you, Terrell. Like, thank you for your time.
Though? But why, though? That's my only thing. Like,
Do I feel that way?
Yeah, because I just feel like...
Don't feel like he's a super dynamic player, and I know this the other guy's supposed to be next to him.
Yeah, you're not going to have 11 Minkah Fitzpatricks out there.
Fair. Here's the comparison. The best comparison I'll use. This is cheating, too, because the guy comes on our show.
Yeah.
Troy was the man on those teams. Terrell Edmonds. I have seen a Ryan Clark, sir.
Yeah.
And Terrell Edmonds is no Ryan Clark.
Okay. But he's still in the vicinity of a Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark had, what, one or two Pro Bowls? It's not like Ryan Clark was an all-pro first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not the case. And I got love for RC. RC is a legend. But we're not going to act like...
Do you think if the team was better, like had better seasons, people would appreciate Terrell Edmonds more?
I would ask you this. If you switch RC and you put RC on this defense with the front that was in front of, you know, Edmonds and Minkah, we know what that group was.
Sure.
And you put Edmonds on that group back there with RC, where it was Debo, Foote, Ferrier, Hampton, Alex, you know, all the, you know, the who's of Steeler legacies and all that, right? I do think that we would have a different of opinion of Edmonds and a different opinion of Ryan Clark.
I will agree with that. I will agree with that while saying I think just as much as you can evaluate each guy in a vacuum, I think Ryan Clark was a better football player.
I would agree with you on that, but all I'm saying is this. Ryan Clark was still a good football player. Edmonds, just because he's not as good as Ryan Clark doesn't mean he's a bad
Here's
football
Larry
player.
On Mike Tomlin. Hello, Larry.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Listen, first and foremost, Canada should be in a bubble coaching offense with the other hose heads up north. Secondary, Mike Tomlin came here as a young coach. Nobody knew who the hell he was. He came in. He made a name for himself. The Rooneys did well by bringing in young blood, new blood. That needs to happen now, because if they don't do it soon, the message is going to remain as nasty as eating French fries with malted vinegar, eh?
Thank you, Larry. Someone just texted in and said, I'd rather have Ron Mexico calling plays than Matt Canada. Isn't that the fake name that Michael Vick used?
Is it true that you still can't get a Falcon 7 with Mexico as the name on the NFL shop? People tried to order those and they blocked them.
I don't think you can get Carruth with the Panthers or Simpson with the Bills either.
Right.
There's like a list of a few guys.
They have like a blacklisted thing of like you try to type that name in on NFL shop with a certain jersey.
I mean, could you imagine if they were selling Carruth Panther jerseys, bro? Like, come on, man.
The Mexico one, you could, I mean, he went to jail and did his time and it was a horrible thing. I almost would put that in a different box than Carruth and Simpson.
Tom is here. Hello, Tom.
Oh, hi.
Hey, man.
What I think is that Tomlin is trying to consolidate power. He's trying to put his own general manager in. The guy really shouldn't go in, you know, that's behind Kevin Colbert. The guy that should be general manager should be Doug Whaley. Now, as far as, like, with
Why?
Canada.
Why would
Tomlin's
you say Whaley
kid,
should have the job?
Doug Whaley is the most qualified guy, I think, for the job, and he'd really do the best job of anyone because he's the most level-headed.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Tomlin again? What the conversation right now is about the Steelers.
Well, Tomlin
coach.
Really wants to get this Brandon guy put in, and he's just going to be
well,
like
how do you know that?
Surrogate
well, how do you know that?
Tomlin. Tomlin wants to
hold on a second. Stop for a second.
Power.
Stop for a second. How do you know that part, that Tomlin wants Brandon Hunt? How do you know that?
Because that's what these commentators have been saying.
Who? Which commentators?
They think that he's trying to promote him.
No, no.
And really, like,
no, no, no,
as far
that's,
as
which commentators have been saying this?
No, no one has said that Tomlin specifically wants Hunt. People have said Hunt is being groomed to replace Colbert. But find me the insider who has said it's Tomlin who wants this guy as GM. I have not seen or heard that yet.
Well, the thing of it is, he can't. You have to bring in fresh blood. You have to bring in Doug Whaley. Okay,
but
like
he's not fresh
manager.
Blood. He worked for the team a long time ago. That's the opposite of fresh. I love
yes,
Doug.
But
it's like
really
recycled a little bit.
The thing of it is, you have to get the most qualified person.
But you just changed your argument. Someone qualified versus someone new. Okay.
Something borrowed, something
new. Well, I was going to tell you, he was there before, but he's coming back, and I think he is a fresh
Thank you,
out.
Tom. That's not new blood, though.
Hey, why don't we get this guy? Now, he's from Upper St. Clair, okay? And he has worked for the franchise before, but he went away, and he got a totally different perspective on life.
I like Doug, but I think if Doug even tried to get the job, he would not sit down and say, Mr. Rooney, I am new blood.
Yeah. He would say, hey, old friend,
yeah,
remember me?
He's the opposite of that.
Yeah, Mr. Rooney, I am new blood. Doug, you used to work here, but I'm new blood.
Do you want your same chair or you want a different chair? Is that what you're yeah. saying?
Doug, are you comfortable with the you office know? You had last time? A little bigger one? All right, we'll see what we can do.
Pony and Muller superfan Jeff is next. Hello, Jeff.
Guys, I'm excited for this one. So it's no secret you guys know that I've been anti-Tomlin for a while. That's not exactly a hot take. But there are multiple layers to it that have only recently come to light, in my opinion. It's been a mystery to me about how drastically different the viewpoints are about Tomlin on a national level versus a local level. He's seemingly still highly regarded by the national media at large, and I could never really figure that one out. However, due to listening to your show and the prolific number of insiders you have on, it's been pointed out how he has too many hats on game day. Too much responsibility. And that honestly is something that had not occurred to me previously. The lazy take on Tomlin had always been, well, he won a Super Bowl with Cowher's players, yada, yada, yada. But after seeing how he has assembled coaching staffs over the years and his lack of assistance even being considered for other head coaching jobs, I'm starting to wonder if the narrative all along should have been he won with Cowher's coaches. He inherited both Arians and LeBeau, and his hires have been uninspiring ever since. He has a defensive coordinator that he didn't even trust to call the plays, and we, as a result, have wasted about 11 seasons of Steelers football. I remember defending him early in his tenure. In fact, I believe it was his Super Bowl winning season against very ugly remarks that I was quite frankly shocked to hear from fellow Steeler fans. So I feel as though there can sometimes be hesitation to criticize him, but the fact remains, just based on his actual job being done, that he just isn't getting it done on game day.
Hey, Jeff, would you like to go see Megadeth?
Oh, my God, you have no idea.
There you go. Jeff in South Park.
Less.
He is going to see Megadeth.
And Lamb of God.
Let's go.
At the Peterson Event Center, May 9th.
We all got very excited.
Why did we do that?
We all got very excited to do the same bit there.
Which group do you think is known as more of a metal?
I mean,
group?
Megadeth's Dave Mustaine. You know, everybody knows that name.
You're Mitch Mustaine's.
Mm. Well,
so on and so forth.
I'm right? just saying, everybody knows. I think Megadeth, but here, judging solely by Jeff's reaction to how pumped he was. I actually think Lamb of God is the band he's more jacked
Ooh.
To see.
Yeah, because
he
wanted to make sure I
metal
threw
band.
In Lamb of
Lamb
God.
Lamb of God.
Donnie, do you like either one of those bands?
I'm pretty unfamiliar.
Can you imagine?
He said, I'm pretty unfamiliar.
I've probably, it's one of those.
You probably heard their stuff and didn't know it was them.
Yeah. I think it's one of those cases. Imagine, I know the song, but I don't know the.
Hey, I thought that was a pretty good call from Jeff.
It was. I thought the coaches thing was a good point. Can you imagine, by the way, forming the band Lamb of God and you tell your family members, oh, you're forming like a Christian band, like a gospel band?
They weren't you in it.
Not quite.
We wouldn't call it gospel.
Not quite, know? Dad. Yeah. No,
Arthur.
We're calling
you
it Lamb of God.
Choir?
It's kind of ironic.
Gospel choir?
Weren't you in a?
I mean, I played drums in a gospel group. Yeah. But I grew up in a church. Like both my parents are pastors. Yeah.
Now, how much time did they put into the sermon? Were they sitting down during the week? They're like, man, I'm still trying to figure out.
No, that was
their
full time job. Yeah. Like my mom, she still does that.
Like drafting, writing it
out,
this is practicing.
Like, well, yeah, it's not even that because you got to think like. The same way we are professionals with our radio stuff, like we don't
That's
have to
I'm
memorize
this question.
It. Yeah,
I wonder if they're
so like she preaches probably. Well, this is before she had a little situation. She preached probably 4 times a week. Yeah,
damn.
So it's like you don't really, you know, I'm not gonna rehearse it like that, but they got their methods of how they remember stuff and how they want to put emphasis on certain things. Yeah.
Nice.
That's a whole market for that stuff, man.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's legit, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.